We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Anybody on their way to their Shinedown concert tonight listening? Thank you for tuning in. I had a situation at the top of the hour I got to break down here for
situation?
You.
Situation?
Yeah, it's not good.
Uh-oh.
Bad.
Intestinal?
Bad career move by the Craig man during the top of the hour timeout.
What did you do?
Well, just making small talk down the hall, I ran into the big boss, Brad.
Okay.
Said, hey, who's winning the big game tonight? I said, well, I'm rooting for Duke. And right then, I was like, oh, no, I could see the look in his eyes change. And I remember he's a North Carolina fan like Chris, everybody else. I said, that's wrong answer, Craig.
Stick to your guns.
And I can't take those words. I can't take it back.
Aisha Brown knows.
I asked him. I said, is this going to shorten the length of my contract now? Is this bad for me?
Well, it depends who wins tonight.
And then
Craig.
Adam around the corner, Mr. Kentucky fan, who's the operations manager. He's also one of my bosses. I said, hey, can you help me out? He said, no, man, you are on your own. You have blown it.
You said earlier today you didn't like Kentucky.
Oh, just get every boss here to
why
be
should
pissed
he
off
defend you?
I like most teams in blue.
Nah, depends what shade of blue for me, my man.
UNC is going to cover, first of all. This will be a close
What's
game.
What's the spread?
Nine.
Really?
Nine. Totals 165.
UNC 6-0 on the road this year against ACC opponents. They have upset Duke 7 times on the road before as a number one team. Well, it can be done. I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
That's what you know with this game. Okay, maybe it ends in a 10-point game one way. You know, Duke wins by 10. But you know it's going to be close. You know that Carolina, Duke, they play. You're going to have a lot of offense. And they're going to keep it close.
Well, anyway, due to my faux pas, your listeners out there, if one day you turn on the radio and it's the Shepherd Show, you'll know what happened. We have some sound. And by the way, Chris, throughout, I mean, every year, the stat is amazing that these teams have been playing, what was it, I've already lost the numbers. The series record is within, like, one game of each other.
Yeah.
It's the compiled point total is, like, within 3 points.
I got it right here.
51.
And the last 103 meetings, that dates all the way back to 1976, the Tar Heels have a one-game advantage. 52-51, yeah. But Duke has a 3-point advantage. Yeah.
7,988 to 7,985.
That's incredible. That's a rivalry, boys and girls. That's a rivalry.
12-time Williams versus Krzyzewski face off in a top 10 matchup. Williams leads the series 6-5, 5-5 at Carolina, 1-0 at Kansas.
How about that?
Again, North Carolina, 16 road wins at Duke since Mike Krzyzewski arrived in 80-81. Twice as many as any other opponent. Maryland and Wake each have 8. Mm-hmm. Tar Heels have lost 5 of the last 6 road games against the Blue Devils. Last one, 2015-16. But Carolina has 13 wins against AP number one teams. Most of any in AP poll history. And 7 of those wins came against number one Duke.
I'll tell you why I think Carolina can contain Zion Williamson. You're not going to stop the guy. He's too good for
Can't stop him. Can only hope to contain him.
Just contain
as they
him,
say.
Right. If Luke May is guarding Zion Williamson, Zion is going to go for 35.
Right.
Luke May does not have the foot speed, the athleticism. I don't even think he has the basketball knowledge to be able to guard Zion.
Few do.
But
it's not about knowledge.
Carolina does have a player that physically can match up with Zion. Nasir Little, he's also a freshman. Mm-hmm. He is the 6'8", 220-pound body that's an athlete.
Okay.
He's the type of guy that can athletically match up with Zion. Now, I'm just talking about what to see from Zion Williamson. If you see Nasir Little guarding him effectively early in the game where he's not getting in foul trouble,
yes.
I think that's a huge plus for North Carolina. if Little goes to the bench early, Little also coming off of an ankle injury last week.
Yeah.
If you see him going to the bench early, big win for Duke right there.
So we want to hold Zion to about 15 tonight?
I don't know, 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
18, 20.
But here's another great stat that the Duke averages 43.1 paint point per game, on pace to be the most by a major conference team the last 8 years. Blue Devils have scored 50-plus paint points in 8 games this year, twice as many as any other major conference, and Zion averages 15.8 points per game in the paint.
43 in the paint?
Yep.
How many did Indiana score total last night?
46.
And they also have Carolina, that is, has to – you got to hope when you play Duke this year. You got to hope that they're not hitting their threes.
Right.
When Duke does what they did coming out against Virginia a couple weekends ago, going 5-for-5 from the three-point line, they get out to that lead. They're big enough to where it's tough to come back on that team. You need to have what happened to Syracuse when they went into Cameron earlier this year, where Duke was, 9-of-42 from three-point?
Mm.
If Duke's hitting the three-point shot,
forget it.
Game over.
But
game
if they start off, over, like you said, if they start off with clunkers in Brick City, it very, very interesting. California. Carolina's going to have to take advantage of that and get out to a lead, because you know Duke's going to go on the road. There'll be runs in this game, I guarantee you, of 8 to 10 points by both sides. Wouldn't shock me if either team's up by 10, and both teams come back at some point in the game.
And for the past few years, it kind of been like Duke has the team, and Carolina's got that dude. That guy that can go out and just, he's got to score 35 for them to have a shot to win.
Yeah.
It's almost flipped this year, where Duke's kind of, they're relying on R.J. Barrett and Zion to get them 50% of their points.
But that's two top three picks in the NBA draft.
I got you, but Carolina's the deeper team tonight.
Yeah.
Duke's not a deep team this year. Right. They can't play a bunch of different ways. If they get one of their guys in foul trouble, that's big trouble for Duke. Carolina can go 9-10 deep on their bench and still have good players out on the court.
Zion Williamson's stat about leading Duke at 15.8 points per game. It's the second most in the nation. Third is Ethan Happ from Wisconsin at 15.7. You know who leads the nation? Nobody would know this name. I have no idea who this guy is. Lamine Diane, Lamine Diane, plays for Cal State Northridge. Averages 17 points in the paint. How's Cal State Northridge this year? Are they a tournament team?
I don't know.
Who the hell is Lamine Diane? Who is that?
I don't know. It's a weird name. Maybe we'll be hearing more of him in March. Maybe he'll be Mr. Cinderella.
Now I got
to
look at it.
407 says Luke May doesn't have the athleticism, knowledge, or skill to guard Zion, but he's going top five. 407, you are wrong, flat out. He's not going in the first round. I don't even know if he'll be drafted, to be honest with you.
Really?
He's not.
He's not a second rounder?
Luke May?
I thought maybe he'd go in the second round.
No, I mean, he's lucky if he can jump over a phone book.
All right.
That doesn't translate well to the NBA. And then 239 says the problem is the Heels are going to use everything in their power to stop Zion, and the other shooters are going to go off. I think that's the formula you use. I mean, if Cam Reddish is hitting the three, if Trey Jones is making you stay on him, then, yeah, you know what? You tip your cap and you say that they're the better team. When they're playing their best, they're the best team in college hoops this year.
Now, will you have your phone off tonight? You don't accept texts and all that during games for the Tar Heels?
I won't look at it.
Just like normal?
Not turning it off, but don't text me. I didn't text you last night.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I was busy losing in poker. By the way, thank you for everybody that showed up at the dog track last night. That was fun. I missed out on high hand by 90 seconds.
That was unbelievable. Get to that in a second. But the Cal State Northridge Matadors. Because now I'm curious. So this guy that lost to Fullerton the other night, 78-71, but this guy, Lamine Diane, had 25 points and 17 boards. He's second in the nation in points in the paint with 17. But this team stinks. Yeah. They're going nowhere. They're in the Big West. They're seventh. They're sixth.
Only 10-16. Ever been to Northridge, California?
No.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
No.
It's California. No. Everything's beautiful.
No, a lot of cement.
Oh.
It's East LA.
A lot of cement.
Oh. It's within the LA area.
County?
No. Cal State Northridge, the Northridge Quake, one of the most famous earthquakes on the
tectonic plates.
Yeah, right there. Northridge, baby. All right. Let's get some
never been a part of an earthquake.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't frequent the West.
Not. They don't have them down here. There are two different kinds, Chris. Yeah. There's kind a kind where the plates are going up and down, and there are other kinds where it's more of a rocking, you feel like you're on a boat.
Really?
We had a freak one in Massachusetts that hit 6.9 or 7 about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Gets your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The concept of it is fascinating. Yeah.
Like, I was on the air once when I had one. It was one of those rolling, feeling like you're on a boat kind.
Did you keep going?
Yeah, I did. But when it was over, I noticed I was a little seasick. I was nauseous from the roll. They happen. They come out of nowhere. They have you freak out. And by the time your heart rate's going up, they're over with. 9 times out of 10. Sometimes you get one like the Northridge one where bridges on highways are collapsing and 4-story apartment buildings are now 2-story apartment buildings as they collapse on you. You know, you have those. Those are bad.
So buildings fall, like not just with the big ones, right?
You need a pretty good long one to build a building to fall.
And the aftershocks can be just as
They can be. Most bad. Of the earthquakes I felt were over in 10 seconds and were 3.5s or something like that. I'd never have been there for a
I have
one.
No, I mean, what's a big one? A 10?
A 10 is the biggest. You can't.
Okay,
you can't
so that's the Richter scale, right?
Yeah.
But then the aftershocks, if they're hitting 4s and 5s on aftershocks, that can be just as devastating.
Like a 3, you'll notice. You'll go, whoa, what's going on? A 6, you might be having some damage. 7, it's going to be catastrophic.
Really?
Yeah, we don't even get to 10. Yeah.
That's like the longer it California's shakes, gone is a 10, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the longer it shakes, that's when more, I mean, you're shaking and you see stuff starting to fall off shelves and you're like, okay, now it's over with. But if it keeps going, I mean, everything's going to shake and walls are going to start collapsing. Like the first one I ever did, I was in an apartment before I got in the house. I mean, you could hear the nails inside the studs squeaking, coming in and out because it was just, everything was moving.
Sounds terrifying.
It is. It is.
No prep?
No prep. See, a hurricane, you kind of get ready. I've done hurricanes, I've done wildfires, and I've done earthquakes. I haven't done plague. I haven't done locusts.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that.
My wife said she experienced the Northridge earthquake. She was out there. There were 20 plus aftershocks in a very short period of time.
A coworker of mine at the Northridge quake was, I think it happened in the middle of the night, was dead asleep, woke up on the floor, got thrown out of his bed, and half his building collapsed. It's a big one. Mm. Big one. All right. Let's get some more reaction. Another segue back to this game. Mike Krzyzewski talking about the Duke-North Carolina game. Very unique rivalry, and it never disappoints.
It's incredibly unique, and that the just the fact that you could have two of the 4 or 5 best programs in the history of sport right here, you know, and then the level, the programs have produced championships and excellence and pros and, you know, and it's never really disappointed, the game, you know, they're just great, great games. And so to be a part of that as a player or a coach, you should be honored to be a part of it. And, you know, that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Chris, has any of these games, have they ever been a dud? He says they never disappoint.
No, that's been a cut. It's always a one.
I'm sure there's been a few, but they're
far and few between.
Or few and far between.
All right, let's hear from Roy Williams. Not hard to get fired up for this game, dadgummit.
Very flattered to be part of it, a very small part of it, but flattered to be involved in it. I don't have to say too much to get our guys fired up. I'm not trying to do too many motivational things that I do a lot of times to try to make sure we're ready to play. But we got an unbelievable challenge in front of us this Wednesday night.
And he also notices that he's got to take care of Zion Williamson because he has lived up to the hype.
You know, they've been pretty good for a long time. I mean, you know, Wendell Carter, Marvin Bagley, those guys, they were all pretty good too. But Zion's a different bird. There's no question about that. We tried to recruit him very, very hard. He's got a combination of skill set that I've never seen before. And there is a lot of attention, but he deserves it. I mean, he's backed it up. I mean, he's been pretty good.
I'd just like to know, I'm just fascinated by anybody in that position, meaning Zion, why he chose Duke over North Carolina.
Yeah, your guy didn't get it done, Chris.
I mean, no, I'm just wondering because he's going to get the same pub, the same recognition, probably the same stats. I just wonder, and it's not just that, him, but others, those top three or four or five, the best ones in the country, why they choose this school over that. What is the overriding factor? Because I don't see much
of a
difference.
You've got it every year, you know. Yeah. One year it's Harrison Barnes, the number one player, picks Carolina over Kansas. The next year it's Andrew Wiggins who picks Kansas over Carolina. What's the difference between going and playing, you know, Kentucky and Duke? You're nationally televised every single game. You're
six
top
figures.
Five.
Cash.
Come on. I can't imagine that the payment for these kids is much different, right?
I don't know. Does Kentucky pay better than Duke? I think so.
I think Kentucky would pay better than Duke.
I think they do.
Yeah.
We should rank the highest paying college basketball programs.
Yeah. Well, then Kentucky's got to be number one. Duke has to be number two. Then you go like Kansas, Carolina.
See, here, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something that may be outrageous. I don't think Duke has to pay. I think probably North Carolina probably doesn't have to pay. Louisville, they had to pay. They're trying to keep up with Calipari.
I get where you're coming from. Yeah. Yes. I think North Carolina State, you gotta pay Dennis Smith Jr. You gotta pay him $100,000 because why would you go play at NC State when you go to Chapel Hill or go to Duke?
Like Purdue, you gotta pay a player to go there. Why would they go there instead of Indiana?
IU, you should be paying.
You should
a lot.
Be paying.
And it will.
Oh, we're paying
already. Eventually.
Speaking of paying, I did not get paid at poker last night. I had high hand at a table.
Don't pivot out of the IU conversation.
No, this is a nice segue, actually, because the IU game was going on while this happened.
You had the high hand at one point, like, and right now at the poker room, if you get the high hand in a tournament or in the cash game, you're going to wait a half an hour, and hopefully it holds up. Normally, you have to wait like 50 minutes, sometimes even
quad
an hour. Quad deuces with a jack kicker, 90, or I think it was 89 seconds before you were ready to collect your 300.
Yes.
Somebody pulls, not quad aces, not quad kings, not a straight flush, quad deuces with a king kicker. And that's a kick in the gonads.
Yes,
man.
That's exactly what it was.
I felt for you.
You know what?
I had the money in my hands.
920 brings up a great point. It's all about the education.
Of course, yeah.
They nailed it right there. That's why you picked Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Which brings up a bigger question. Why are the Ivy League schools not capitalizing?
Well, that's true.
On what?
On what?
On their great education.
Because most of those are endowments. It's different. They get these donations. Well, yeah, boosters, I mean. But
they don't have scholarship players, right?
No.
Oh, they don't?
No. No, well, they do.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. They're not technically called scholars. They're not.
Oh, what are they? Leadership scholarships or not athletic scholarships?
They go there for their education and they pay their way and they play basketball.
Yeah, right.
There's another technical term for it. It's basically scholarships because some of them are still very good in hockey, too, and they have to recruit against Hockey East in the Midwest.
Financial aid.
All that stuff. It's
like
it's
every other schmo.
Haven.
Haven by the harbor. Yeah, so I got ripped out of $300 by an almost identical hand.
239 says nobody cares about you, bad beat.
Oh, really, 239?
Nobody cares about you, 239.
All right, I'm renaming him. He's Bad Attitude 239. All right, when he comes up again. If you text the show regularly, your phone number comes up. But we can change the phone number out and put your name there.
Or nickname
that we have for, and many of you have nicknames to us when you text in. Some of you don't know it, some of you do.
My favorite one is Guy Who Said He Never Listen Again, who texts in regularly.
Right. There we go.
Oh, God. Yeah, we know there's no Ivy League per se. They're not called scholarships, but they get stuff.
All right.
Craig,
what are you doing? You named one guy bacon-wrapped corn.
Right, because he sent us the picture of bacon-wrapped corn because he knows of our hideous corn discussion dating back to the Super Bowl. That's right. Now we know who he is. That was a good text. By the way, if you would all like to text in and you would have a preferred nickname.
No. Our text line is going to be overrun.
It's 239-337 ESPN. Thank you for the sympathy, 803. That was beyond a bad beat. I mean, Scott Van Pelt's going to talk about it tonight on
Bad Beats.
Right
he should.
Coming up, North Carolina Duke highlights, but first, bad beats down in Bonita Springs.
Yes. You got to see this.
Oh, my God.
Man. All right.
Yeah, 317 thought you were talking about the Hoosier bad beat.
No, they covered. Hoosier's covered.
Hoosier's covered.
Hoosier's covered the six.
We didn't win a game, but the big 7-3 stiff tipped it in over our heads. So.
All right, what's my name?
Wig wonders what I am. Wig, we just call you Wig.
You're Wig, my
we
man.
We like your name. It's cool. Nobody else has it. You're Wig.
Like, is that an... Is
with
that
two
your,
G's.
Is that your real name?
So now we're getting this is what the name.
I opened up a big can
you
of worms,
606
man.
Says I'd like to be referred to as Mr. Dude. Mr. Dude, the 606.
All right. You got it. I'll type it. I'll do all the clerical work here. I'll take care of it. Let's take a break. We'll come back.
Oh, wow. We're late.
Yeah. We've been teasing this stupid baseball rule all day. We'll get to it.
Mr. Big Chest.
All right. Sheepman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheepman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
All right, two things here. Sheeman to Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook Live. You can download our podcasts of all the segments of our show at 99.3ESPN.com. I got a candle. I mean, we are everywhere. While you're on 99.3ESPN.com, get your kids signed up for our Southwest Florida Junior Anglers Championship March 2nd. Go fish! And went up to $5,000 cash prizes out there. We'll be out there. It's $75 per angler to get yourself registered. So we'll have all that. Also,
like go and fish, not go fish, like a like Dolphins the, like or a Marlins fan would say.
Oh, yeah. You know, one thing I didn't get to, I found an article today, five things that Derek Jeter has done right. Maybe we'll get to that later. Also, it was a legitimate article.
What, removing the center field statue?
That was part of it.
That was number one.
Well, all right, you want to do it? By the way, while I dig that up, we have opened up a little can of worms for myself. All you texters that come in, caller ID, put your phone numbers up. Some of you, we put nicknames on, and now people are just breaking down the system, typing in nicknames you wish to be called when we refer to you or read your text on the air. That's fine. I'm going to go back and do it. Keep them coming. 239-337-ESPN. You're all going to have nicknames to become characters on the show.
Has he done five things right?
Here we go.
I got remove the center field statue, hire Jorge Posada.
Wow. The sun is not even on it.
That's big.
All right. Number five. And this was written by. I didn't get the byline. Number five. The Marlins have turned their international scouting game all the way up, apparently because of the strength of Victor Mesa and Victor Jr. And all that.
Yeah.
All right.
I could buy that.
Okay. Number four, Jeter wants to focus on Miami fans first. Now, he had been criticized because he wasn't marketing to the outer areas like Jupiter. He says, if I can't get the people in the vicinity to just do walk up on a Tuesday night, then what? I'm wasting my time elsewhere. I guess that's where he's.
You're not going to get that unless your team's competitive or you give away free tickets or huge promo nights because it's so damn expensive.
Well, remember,
in there once
no,
you get in.
Remember, they got the new 3-4-5 pricing this year where it's like $3 for a soda and a hot dog.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that'll help.
Number three.
Wouldn't it be nicknamed Batman?
Nick and Benita, you're already Nick and Benita. You can't be called Ass Man.
Yeah, you're already Nick and Benita. Can't be the Kramer Ass Man. You are the Ass Man. But I ended up being a proctologist in Seinfeld.
Hey, Roses and Bedroom Guy, you've got a nickname too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you already can't be the name.
All right, so number three. The new outfield standing room, social area, and other park improvements. I would put the structure in center
Say
field.
Say that again. Say that again.
The new outfield standing room, social area.
Stop. Stop. So let's bring out a whole bunch of people out to this area. And not talk about the game or watch the game. What's going on? I bet you there's a movie theater there.
Could be. Could be.
Let's have a wine and cheese party. You don't have to watch the game. Hey, come out and socialize in between. Come on out here. What does that mean?
I don't know. 941, Stan and Haney just mentioned our urinal quarter. Well, they're about a week and a half late.
We're way ahead of them. Still there, by the way.
It's
developing rust.
It is.
It's still there.
I think.
I didn't know that the quarter could rust.
Number two, the Marlins ended the JT Real Muto saga.
I
nailed it. Ended the saga just in time. Didn't let it drag on. Got rid of him. 86 to him.
They got good prospects.
They did. Best pitching prospect for the in the Philly system. Yeah. They got a catcher who's actually WAR, I believe, was 2 games less than Real Muto.
Yes.
So they got
a
pretty effective catcher.
It says here, somehow a player nobody knew a few seasons ago was good during the rebuilding effort. Now he'll be good somewhere else, like, you know, Christian Yelich. All right. Number one, the top five best moves by Derek Jeter so far in charge of the Marlins.
Hot dogs.
The Marlins now have the 13th best farm system, according to Baseball America. This time last year, they were 29th. All right. We got something.
Yeah. I mean, none of this is going to help them win games this year,
no.
But that's okay.
But it'll be more enjoyable.
Who gets to the playoffs first, the Padres or the Padres? Padres are going to be a wild card contender this year, in my opinion.
If I tell you, I think that division is winnable from a wild card standpoint.
They're not beating the Dodgers.
I said from a wild card perspective.
I thought you said winnable. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, they can come out of there.
I think they're no better than third in that division.
Probably. I mean, I think they'll make it interesting.
Are they better than Arizona?
Look at the 3-year plan. The question was who gets there first? The Marlins aren't getting to the playoffs for 10 years. Maybe five.
Well, that's a little harsh.
Okay, five. So the question is, can the Padres do it in five with Manny Machado?
Okay, what's the first thing that happened? Tampa Bay is in Montreal. The Padres make the playoffs, or the Marlins finish at 500?
Marlins finish at 500. That's happened in 2021.
Major League Baseball has fixed itself. It has a new rule. It is going to curtail sign stealing. That's a big problem now. Look, I'm like, if you can steal a sign, good for you. Now, they're still allowing it from the runner on second base. But what they will not allow, they're banning in-house outfield cameras from foul pole to foul pole, so you can't steal signs that way. Live broadcast limited to each team's designated replay official, who in turn will be monitored by a security expert, and having all other TV monitors, such as those in the clubhouse and bullpens, on an 8-second delay. That's going to fix baseball.
Fine. And here's the thing with the 20-second pitch clock, which I know, like Kershaw and others, are all on it. They're all upset about it. Blah, blah, blah. Look, it's only going to be for the first batter, which is fine for me, because you can't have a pitch count. You can't have a pitch clock with anybody on base, because it would be unfair.
Right.
Because
just when bases are empty.
Just when bases are empty. Because anybody on any base, you can take off when you could take off when the pitch clock is going down to 2-3 seconds. You go.
That's a good point, because I have never. That's a good point. I've never heard of it.
On the other hand, I still think it would be kind of interesting to see how many people would dare test the catcher knowing that they're going, maybe that's a draw. Maybe they go on 10 instead of 3 or 2. But I do think it would be difficult to imply the 20-second pitch clock with any runners on base.
All right, one other story that's kind of developing here this afternoon involves Anthony Davis. As you know, the Pelicans want to sit them. Danny Ferry is their new interim GM. They fired their GM last week. They've been wanting to sit him. The NBA says no. And what, they're asking the NBA to reconsider? They want to sit him for the rest of the year?
No, absolutely. Yeah, and I think it's if Adam Silver says yes to this, there's a major problem. He can't possibly. You can't ask people to pay those kind of prices to go see Anthony Davis, even the Pelicans or who they are. You can't do that.
No.
You realize the precedence that sets?
But two things are happening. He's been playing like garbage and scoring like 3 points a game. And here's another thing. He's playing to not get hurt. What happens when you play to not get hurt, instead of just playing?
You get hurt. You start to, and even if you hurt your shoulder, you might compensate. You might hurt your knee instead. You know, we say that about baseball players all the time. Oh, I'm worried about my arm slide on my shoulder. Okay, well, then now you land wrong.
Yeah.
Because you're so concerned about your shoulder, or vice versa. You're concerned about your leg. Now your arm slots off the way you throw the ball. I hurt my arm. And that stuff happens all the time. But that's a dangerous precedent to be, if they allow that. How does Danny Ferry explain that to season ticket holders or any fans that we're going to sit our best player?
Yeah.
Because we might trade him. We all know we will be.
Yeah. And then what did I see? I saw a crawl on one of these talking head shows that the Lakers are privately concerned about LeBron. Are they talking about his injury? Like,
I think his injury, about how he could miss the playoffs. Of course, they wouldn't be in the playoffs right now. They're in 10th spot, 3 games behind, I believe. So they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Nate Dogg Naples texting in. What are chances Harper goes to the Phillies? Killing me.
I still think
my Twitter every 30 seconds.
I still think, Nate Dogg Naples, that the Phillies are still the leading contender.
Wait a minute. Didn't the Phillies tell the whole world, hey, we're going to spend some crazy money on not one, but maybe two guys?
Well, hang on, though. I think they want to spend crazy money, but let's not get.
On who?
Well, they may have offered him $250, $300 million, and his agent might say, I want four.
Do you spend it this year, or do you spend it next year? When you got the South Jersey kid, Mike Trout, who's a better player than Manny or Bryce Harper becoming a free agent.
Well, that's a good point.
That's the one that I...
But they ran their mouth and said this offseason.
They're going to have to
make
a splash.
They were going to do it.
Or attempt
Look,
to make
man,
a splash.
Look, man, the second, third best team in that division. They're right there.
Yeah.
They're right there with the Braves and Nats.
And the Braves were technically a year ahead of schedule last year. I mean, they're going to have a little sophomore slump and fall back
maybe.
This year.
And
I
the Phillies got off to a rocky start. Gabe Kapler got off to a rocky start as manager, but they turned it around pretty quick.
Yeah.
Just signed a pitcher, star pitcher there, to an extension. So
Chris has been working feverishly, multitasking, and going through our text line and renaming as everybody's been putting in their requests on their nicknames they want to be called when they text in.
Yeah, so we got Nate Dogg Naples, Batman, Town Car Terry, the Hammer, Roses in Bedroom
Can
Guy.
Can we get a Wonder Woman? That's actually a woman.
Yeah.
We did have a lady text in that said... her husband became a grandpa at like 45, didn't want to be called grandpa, so he's called Grandmaster.
Grandmaster, what's the name of the head of the
Flash.
Clan?
Yeah,
that's Grand...
Oh, really?
No, it's Grand Wizard.
Think that.
Okay,
why
no,
would
good.
We go there?
No, Grandmaster, I think, is okay.
Did you just go there?
I'm asking.
Okay.
I'm asking. I just want to make sure we're not offensive.
No. KK is
Grand Wizard.
Yeah, Grandmaster Flash. Remember, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Grandmaster is okay. So he can be called Grandmaster.
Chris, we would have loved the song Scorpio back in the day. Awesome tune.
I have a feeling, what are we talking about?
For who? For what?
You said the Klan.
Right. The Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
The head guy is called the Grand Wizard.
And I would like one of his songs?
No.
Hold on.
Back up the tape.
We need to restart this conversation because I'm very confused right
now. I just want to make sure that we don't name a guy Grandmaster if it's a fit. It's not.
No, I was
because it's not Grand Wizard. And then Pete is on. Pete doesn't listen to me half the time.
I didn't listen to you.
So he's
you.
On his own tangent.
I said that you don't say. No, Grandmaster. Grandmaster is also a chess champion. Certificates. It's Grandmasters.
Right. So Grandmaster is okay.
Yes. I think Grandmaster always used to be in Dungeons and Dragons, too. The guy does that. So, yeah.
All right. Just wanted to make sure in this politically correct day and age that we dot our
I needed to get that clear. I thought you guys were talking about the Klan.
Well, for a brief moment, we were for like 10 seconds. We were just double checking. And then it popped into my head what the real name was for the head of the Klan, which is obviously, if I need to say it, a horrible thing.
Very horrible. Terrible.
Not a position that you should campaign for.
That's why I was confused why we were talking about it.
That's all. I was in my mind just clarifying the difference between the two.
Most people, when you say Grandmaster, you're really referring to a chess champion.
A chess champion. Right. Yeah.
Then good. He can have the nickname.
Fantastic.
We're good. Yeah. We're clear. We're out of time.
Like Bobby Fischer.
Glad we got that cleared up.
What you got coming up next? Sheepman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, here's what we got for What You Got. Brought to you by Twin Peaks and every Twin Peaks. By wall-to-wall TVs, made from scratch food, and signature 29-degree beer. Served by the best-in-class Twin Peaks girls. Check them out, Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. All right, keep the nicknames coming on the text line, and we'll get them put in there for you. Be regulars on the show. Birthdays today on the 20th of February. Happy 56th birthday to the Chuckster. Sir Charles Barkley is 56 today. Phil Esposito, 77. And that's all I really have today for what you got. Pete?
Well, hang on, mate.
Chris?
I got it.
Hold on.
Hold on.
What happened there? Your phone not load?
Why don't you guys prepare for what you got before the show like I do?
All right, tennis legend Martina Navratilova has officially been booted off the advisory board of a prominent LGBTQ organization after making comments deemed transphobic about trans athletes. And again, she wrote a strongly worded op-ed about why trans athletes physiologically born as men should not be able to compete against women. Martina said it's insane and cheating. It says people born with male physiology have a dramatic physical advantage over cisgender women. But now they didn't like that, so they booted her off this committee. And by the way, she's 100% right.
She's 1,000% right.
Yeah.
I'll one-up you on that one. Fact!
Mm-hmm. Fact.
All right, Chris, what you got?
There is a new game teens are playing on social media. It's called the 48-Hour Challenge. And what it is you go missing for 48 hours, and for each time you have a social media post about you missing, you get a point.
Oh.
And then after 48 hours, you show up. Just an insanely stupid game to play. But
wouldn't that make your loved ones worried?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
So there's that. But yeah, just, and I don't really know how to deal with that. Like, still get the word out if somebody's missing, but just don't tweet about it too much.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
The Habamasta is in our text line now. He said, thanks, Drill Gun.
Are you Drill Gun?
I'm Drill Gun.
Why are you Drill Gun?
Because I called it a Drill Gun once.
T-Bone.
Call what a Drill Gun?
A drill.
You're not Drill Gun.
On our show? Did you know this person?
Nope. I did it on the show. Remember it. You know, I'm not wrong very often.
Is
that was one
really
time that I was
master
wrong.
In Naples?
I don't know. He's in there as Habamasta.
No, Naples Habamasta.
No, but that's too long, so he's just the Habamasta.
Pete's looking for a free ride. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, and by the way, this whole preparing for what you got thing, real easy when you just rattle off anniversaries and birth dates.
It is
easy. I give real content in this last hour. I don't phone it in.
Every once in a while, I throw in a good story.
I like the dates.
I like this date in history. It's charming. It's a nice way to end the day. It's a
little
fun fact that a guy driving home from work can share with his family when he gets home.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, I think it's nice. And I do it 4 out of every 5 days. Maybe one day a week I have a story like you guys. But I prepare it ahead of time.
This is a great text.
Oh, I think, we got Harry Carey. That's our Harry Carey.
Oh, yeah. Town car. Yeah, where's Harry Carey?
He hadn't called the show in a while. I'm very disappointed. I thought that was going to become like a regular Friday thing that I could look forward to.
Town car Terry, how did Pete just grow from old school DJ Grandmaster Flash to chess champ to D&D? Most unrelated tangent ever. I kind of liked it, except for the D&D.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what we do here on this show. And people are just now starting to...
People are talking.
Really, really catch on. We've been doing this, it'll be...
Come up on 2 years in a couple months.
I started 2 years ago in April. You joined me in May. So, yeah, we got our 2 year coming up.
Technically, I was on with you in April for a couple times.
Yeah, you did do a couple guest spots. You were a guest then.
Okay.
Now you're co-host.
Yeah,
239, make up your mind. You want to be Jumbo Shrimp or do you want to be Chocolate Thunder Lips? You got to make up your mind here.
Chocolate Thunder.
Now, Chocolate Thunder was Daryl Dawkins. That was his own nickname for himself, the original.
Yeah, let's go
one
with
the first
Jumbo
player
Shrimp
to ever come out of the NBA out of high school.
Which is an oxymoron when you think about it.
Jumbo Shrimp is the ultimate oxymoron. Oh, man. All right, Spain and Fitz coming up at the top of the hour.
What will they go with tonight? They're going to go Le'Veon Bell. No, the free at last
You don't
thing.
Think they go Duke, North Carolina?
No.
The game's on ESPN.
They do, and here's why they go Duke, North Carolina. Fitz is at the game. They're going to call into Fitz.
All right. But I still think this Le'Veon Bell might get some play the free at last comments. I think he's going to catch a lot of flack from it. He already is.
Wow.
And also what Kevin Colbert said today, the GM, about the Steelers.
Okay.
So.
All right, so we have that.
Yeah. Yep.
8:45 pregame as we carry the game. If you're out running errands or honeydews or coming back from dinner or something and you can't be in front of a TV.
Who runs honeydews at 9 o'clock at night?
The melon?
I don't like honeydew if we're going to open that can of worms.
First of all, how long have you been married? 4?
Me?
Yeah, 4 years.
5.
Five?
Five.
You don't do honeydews at all hours? You have little kids? You've never had to run out, go get another bag of diapers or something?
No.
At a weird hour?
I prepare.
No.
Like you do for what you got?
He has an Uber in. Calls an Uber driver. They'll get that.
Seriously.
Stuff for
you. You do honeydews at all times. Anyway, I was just making conversation. Enjoy the game tonight. Don't text Chris. And we'll be back to wrap it all up tomorrow, among other things. We got a baseball guy on tomorrow, too, right?
Jay Jaffe.
Yeah, Jay Jaffe, yes. Yes,
and Rick Coro.
And Rick Coro. See what he thinks about the Padres in there.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. Small market team getting a big
money. Or the Duke UNC
guy.
Ticket price.
Yeah, that too. For Chris, for Craig, for Craig Sheeman, all these nicknames. God bless America,
go
everybody.
Heels.